Kum lerna blak de mora, zesh chedesh, teves, Chanukah. We are in Daf Chof Hei Amet Aleph, and we are learning according to Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi, where does he learn out that chametz and sheira niskol? In fact, those are the only two that we need to know. How do we know that they are osa b'hanah as well? And we're going through different possibilities and different ways. Okay, so then we learned that Abaye said Abba Klai Kedem, even if he did not do the normal way, you get. Then we learned Abu Rav Yochanan says that everything only chayv if he did it the normal way, or Hano only did it the normal way, and Klai Kedem is an exception because nowhere does it say the word Achila by Klai Kedem. And then we're going through Basa B'Cholav. How do you know that Basa B'Cholav, meat and milk, you're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to have Hano, and so on. And we made, by Basav Cholav, we made a whole Kavah Chaymer. If Orla, you didn't do anything wrong with it, and yet you're not allowed to only eat it, but also you're not allowed to have any benefit, then Basav Cholav, you did something wrong with it, surely you shouldn't have any benefit from it. So we started going through each item that maybe there's some other serious side to it.
Still there?
I'm here.
Hello?
Yeah.
Can I'm you here, but I don't hear you.
You don't hear me?
Now we do.
Okay.
Disconnecting, but we didn't hear you for a minute.
Okay, sorry. What do you call it? So we're saying that Erla perhaps has a stringency because it was never kosher from the beginning. That's why you never have any benefit. But Basil Cholol prior to the mixing, you were allowed to have a benefit. You allowed to eat milk separately, milk and meat separately. Maybe you shouldn't be so strict. So we used Chametz and Pesach. Prior to Pesach is permitted, and yet it's forbidden. So then we said, but Chametz and Pesach, it's strict because you get chorus. Maybe that's why you can't have any benefit. On the other hand, basa b'cholav, there's no chorus if you somebody eats it. So then we say b'klaya kerem, mixing other seeds with grapes, it will be a good proof. There's no chorus involved over there, and yet you cannot have any benefit from it whatsoever. So now then the Gemara asks the question, why didn't we ask? Klaya kerem also has astringency. The lifrech, right in the middle of the page, the last word line is the lifrech. That's 17 lines on top. The Lifrech, why don't we ask, Mal Klai HaKedem, there's a stringency by Klai HaKedem, she came lo hoysa l'shas HaKosher. Klai HaKedem also, from the very beginning, it is forbidden. In other words, we learn it's not just the growth that is forbidden, it's the seeds as well that are forbidden that you put in the ground. And therefore, from the very, so we see it never had a chance to be permitted. As soon as you put in the ground, the seeds also became awesome. Sorry. We think right now that the seeds you put in remain kosher. It's only the new growth that's forbidden. The new growth from its very inception, from its very origin, is forbidden. And the seeds remain kosher. Why don't we ask that question unless we can say, Oh, Rabbi Abba, maybe we can learn out that Klai HaKedem,
not. Can I hear you again? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. You can't hear me? Can you hear me? So this proves the point that the seeds themselves also become forbidden. And these seeds were permitted before you laid them to rest in the ground. And therefore, we couldn't ask that very question. So we learn a new halacha from here. Zaysin medes, from here you learn out, Klai HaKedem, when you mix ordinary seeds with grapes, Ikara Nesarin, not only is the new growth forbidden, but also the seeds. Hoyol v'hoitzel henshas ha'koshe koidem hashrosha. And even though it was kosher before you put them in the ground, that's why we couldn't ask, oh, there's a stringency by Klai HaKedem. There isn't any. But just like Chametz HaPesach is permitted before Pesach, just like Basar B'Cholav is permitted before you mix together, so too also these seeds were permitted had you planted it elsewhere. And now they become Asar, so there's no stringency in Klai HaKedem. Basar Rashmaya, so Rashmaya comes along and says, so you're teaching us a new halacha that when you put in Klai HaKedem the seeds, they also become forbidden. We learned, Hamavir Otziz Noki, if somebody carries a potted plant that has a puncture, B'Kedem, over a vineyard. So because it has a puncture, it gets some nourishment from the ground, from the vineyard as well. So we say as follows. The law is that you have a thing called bottle b'shishim. If tray falls into a pot of kosher, if there are 60 times of kosher versus the tray, it nullifies it. And by truma, we say 100 times. If there's 100 times of chulin versus the one time of truma, then it nullifies it. By Erla, we say it's 200 times, because Erla is not only forbidden to eat, you also not have any pleasure, so therefore it's double the Isser of Truma, so it's 200 times. So, Im Ha'isim Asarim Asar. If it added 200 times, it becomes Asar. So if increased 200 times, then it becomes asa. It becomes asa. So if there are 201 times, there's 200 kosher food for every for a piece of what do you call it, of olah, then it becomes mutter. But if it's less than that, it's all up to 200 and it's asa. So we see from that what? That it seems from here that only the additional part becomes asa, not the seeds. Amar Rosh Hashanah, we have two psukim. See, when one pasuk says hazera and one pasuk says that the zera becomes asa, sounds like what? It says like you shouldn't plant vineyards. Paint tiktish hamaleya, because maybe the maleya means the increase. Maybe the increase will become forbidden. Maybe the increase will become forbidden. And one pasuk says hamaleya, and the other pasuk says hazera, which are the seeds. So which one is it? The seeds or the increase? Haketzer zrua mi korai. If you planted it from the beginning, you know, you put seeds in the ground, bahashrasha, and then the seeds become forbidden, that's zera, which is what we said before. Zeruah bo, you already have a plant that's growing already, and now you're passing it over a vineyard. Hoisif im lo hoisif, if it added new growth, it is forbidden. If it did not have new growth, it is not forbidden. So it's not the seeds over here. Here we look at the growth itself. It says the Gemara further, a new Gemara. Am Rabbi Yaakov, Am Rabbi Yechon. You can use, if somebody's not well, you can use anything, even something which is forbidden to eat, even though it's forbidden to have pleasure. You're allowed to use it for therapeutic purposes. Chutz ma'atzei hasheira. The only thing you're not allowed to use is atzei hasheira. Atzei hasheira are these trees that were planted for avodah zarah, and that you cannot use. There's a big argument, Rashi and Tosfos are showing him exactly what we're talking about here. According to Rashi, if the doctor gives you some kind of a herb or something that came from Atzei HaShera, you can't have any benefit because of Avodah Zarah. According to Tosfos, only if the only tree that has these therapeutic possibilities, potential, is an Atzei HaShera tree. But if it's any tree of that particular species, and you just happen to take an Atzei HaShera, so then you won't give any credit to the fact that it's an Avodah Zarah tree. The whole idea is, according to Tosfos, is that you're going to be very thankful and start believing that there's some power, potent power in the shadim or something there behind that tree. But if any tree of that particular, you know, genre would work, then you won't give any particular credit to the shader part of it. That's Tosfos. Other than Rashi says, no, the fact you're having enough Avodah Zarah. Others say that even the other trees have the same therapeutic power, but if you especially say, give me from that Atzei HaShera tree, again, you're associating with Avodah Zarah, you can't. So that's the only one you can't. Says Gemara, what are you talking about here? Hechem, what are we talking about? Ename of the Ika Sakana, it's a question of life and death. I feel like Shanami. Then why shouldn't you be able to use Avodah Zarah? You know, Pekuach Nefesh pushes away anything in the Torah. V'idaleka Sakana. V'idaleka Sakana. And if it's not a question of life and death, then I feel a kol isur in Shiba Torah Nami. If it's not a question of life and death, then any isur in the Torah. We're talking about that there is a sakana here. It's a question of life and death, and therefore you're allowed to enjoy whatever you want. Nevertheless, even life and death has certain limitations that we don't allow you to use to save yourself, even though it's a question of life and death, as we'll see. The Tanya we learned, Rabbi Lezer, we're learning in the 7th Pedic in Sanhedrin. We will learn in the 7th page of the Hedin, where it says over there that there are the Tanya we learned that Rabbi Lezer says im nema b'chol nafshecha lama nema b'chol medecha. If it says b'chol nafshecha, why does it say b'chol medecha? Im nema b'chol medecha, it says we say in Kshma b'chol nafshecha u'b'chol medecha, with entire soul, with entire being. Isn't that redundant? Lama nema b'chol nafshecha. And let me teach you a very interesting concept which we had in Moruch Hulim. Im yesh adam shegufay chaviv olam emanya. There are some people that to them their health is more important than anything else. Supersedes their money, their wealth, everything else. The Kach Nemar says for Hashem you should be prepared to give that up as well. Yeah, you have to give up that as well. The chol nafshecha, you have to give up your entire being, your nefesh. That's what you believe. That's the most important thing. The yesh adam, but the other people. There are people who think that their assets are worth more than anything else, more than family, more than their health, more than anything else. And so the Torah says, you have to give up what's most important to you, the entire being, which means what? Your money. whatever the most, what you cherish more than anything else, you have to be prepared to give up for the Eibishter. And therefore, if you're using, what do you call it, Avodah Zarah, it's as if you believe in Avodah Zarah. So therefore, you're not allowed to, for Avodah Zarah, you're not allowed to give up. You have to give up your life rather than use Avodah Zarah. But it sounds like you don't really care about Hashem. He also, Rav Rabbi Yochanan bar Komitz, and he came along and he said, you can cure yourself with anything that you want. Chutz, the following three exceptions. Avodah Zarah. For Avodah Zarah, you have to be prepared to die for. They ask you to worship other idols. Gila Arayis, for immorality. And Shvichas Damim, to commit murder. If they say you want to save yourself, kill somebody else, you can't do that. Avodah Zarah Damim, we just said. Anything to do with Avodah Zarah, including medicine, you can't do. Give your life up. Gilu Arayi is a Shvichas Damim. What's that talking about? The time you learned. Rebbe says, it says in Pasig, in Parshas Kisei, it says that, you know, a girl that was raped and out in the country, and she couldn't do anything about it, and you don't do anything to the girl, on the contrary. She did no sin. And the Pasig says, just like a person stands up to kill a friend, same thing here. Now, what in the world is the comparison between, what's the Torah trying to say by comparing a rape of a woman, a Naira Marasa, to a woman who's engaged, to betrothed, to a murderer? What are we trying to say here? It says the Pasuk, Kikashayokum Isharei, just like a person stands up on his friend, and wants to, and kills him. Nefesh, Kena, the same here. Chima inyina teches Naira Marasa. What does murder have to do with this girl, Naira Marasa? We're comparing, you know, it sounds like we're trying to learn Naira Marasa from murder, but in fact we're learning murder from Naira Marasa. Makish Atzecha Naira Marasa, so we're going to equate a murderer to rape a man, and as follows. Ma Naira Marasa Nitin Latzila Benaf Shoy. When you see someone, Chas V'Shalom, being raped, you have a right to murder that perpetrator of the crime. Afritzeach, if you see somebody trying to murder somebody, Nitin Latzila Benaf Shoy, you can stop the murderer. And by even killing him. We're talking about here, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, only if you have no choice. In other words, if you can just maim him or wound him and that's sufficient to stop him, that he's supposed to do that. And in fact, you'll be tried for murder if you murder the person. It's only when you have no other choice. Now, on the other hand, the Naid Amarasa, we also learn, it goes both ways, we learn out a girl from murder. Maratzeach Yehoreg Yaver. Just like the case of murder, we say that do not, they say, you kill that person, they'll kill you. Don't do it. Better get killed and don't sin. Af Naira Marasa, Tehoreg Otaber. The same thing over here as well, by Naira Marasa. If they're being forced to commit the sin, then you have to get killed and not to sin. Now, it's a big argument if the word is Tehoreg or Yehoreg. Tehoreg is feminine. It sounds like they tell a woman that you better, you know, be complicit here in this act. Sounds like you tell a woman, if you want to be complicit, in this act, fine, otherwise we'll kill you, she should rather die. But Tosfos says the word should not be Tehoreg, because the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, how did Esther allow herself to marry Ahasuerus? She's supposed to die. So we said it's not referring to the woman. The woman is not active, she's passive. It's only if you're active. So therefore, by woman we say not Tehoreg. We say let her be over. She's not really doing over, she's passive. It's only the man. If he's forced to do it, he is the one who's active, and therefore by a man we say Yarig V'Yavar. And just about murder, because by murder the din is an interesting thing. If they say to you, we're going to toss you and throw you on top of this kid, and you're going to crush this kid and kill the kid, you don't have to die for it, because you're not doing anything, you're passive. It's only we tell you take a gun, a knife, and murder that person, that we say that you have to be, you'd rather die than do commit that crime. Says the Gemara, but how do you know by murder, Taka, that you're supposed to allow yourself to get killed rather than kill somebody else? Says the Gemara, Ushvich is dumb and goofy, but no, how do you know? Svaru, it makes sense. It says, Yehudas, the Kamer Rabbah, came for Rav Amalei, Mori Dero, my governor, Amalei, gave me an ultimatum. He said to me, Zil Kotle Leplanya, go ahead and kill that person, be like, and if you don't, Katlin Allah will kill you. What should I do? Amalei said to him, Likatluch, let them kill you, and you have no right to kill somebody else. And why? How do we know? How do we talk to know? Maybe I have a right to save myself. It doesn't say, so we answer, my chaz is, who told you the dama the doch sumak tvei? Who told you your blood is redder? Dilma dama the gavra sumak tvei? Maybe the blood of your friend is redder than yours. The whole idea is the koach nefesh, you want to save a Jewish life. Well, that person is also a Jewish life. So who told you that your blood is any redder or more Jewish than his? And therefore, you have no right to kill that person. Mar, the son of Ashi, once found that Avina, the shayif of Labarte, that he was smearing on his daughter, Goharka, the Erla. He's using peels of Erla, or he's actually using the olives that weren't fully ripe. They're very small, used for therapeutic reasons. And he thought that you're allowed to what do you call it, for medicine, even though it's asa banah, you can do that. Says the Gemara, Amalei, Elma da Rabbanan, when did Rabbanan say you're allowed to use things which are forbidden to have hana, pleasure, for therapeutic purposes? The shasakana was a matter of life and death. Shaloi b'shasakana, but stam, me onwards. The din is you don't have any hana, just because you're sick, doesn't grant you the license to go ahead and use things which are forbidden to have hana. So why are you doing that? Amalei, hai ishta tzimirtash, my daughter has a terrible, terrible fever, and nami k'shasakana dami, and that is treated like a sakana. Ikedami, others say, Omale, he said, like we just learned yesterday, Mide derech hanor kavinya, did I just use it the way, the normal way? Normal way is the way the olives mature completely and then you take out the oil. I took an immature olive. I took an olive that was immature and I used that oil there. And that is not the normal way of doing it. So now the Gemara starts another subject. Itmar, we learned. So we're talking about things which are forbidden. Itma, we learned. Hana, very interesting argument. We had a concept in Gemara Shabbos about something you do unintentional. A davar she'ein miskaven. The classical example is if you're dragging a chair on the ground on Shabbos and inadvertently you make holes. If it was impossible not to make the holes, that's called a psik reisha, which means you're chopping the head off of a chick and you think the chick will live. Of course, it doesn't matter what your intention is, you're liable. But over here, If you're dragging a chair on the ground, it's a davar she'ein miskaven. You have no intention of making holes, and therefore Rab Shimon says it is permitted, and Rab Yehuda says it's forbidden. So remember that. We're going to come back to it soon. So we have an interesting discussion here. What happens? You're walking down the street, and there's a smell coming out from somewhere which is avodah zarah. Let's say sacrifices being sacrificed avodah zarah. Or a fragrance of avodah zarah, and you don't have any benefit from it. So, what happens? So there's different possibilities. That's the only road you can walk on. That's called loy efshar. You had no choice. Efshar is there were two roads, and you decided to walk down this road. You had an alternative, an option. That's one side. The other side of the coin is while you're walking through, there's a very nice smell, but you don't have any benefit from it. But you decided it's called kamachavan. I'm really walking through, I want to enjoy it. So there's four possibilities. There's loy efshar, you had no choice, veloy kamachavan, and you had no intention of smelling it, but you smell it anyway. There's loy efshar, you had no choice, it's the only route going, but kamachavan decided, no, I'm going to enjoy it while I'm walking through. Then there's another two possibilities. Efshar, you had a choice, vikamachavan, and you intended to smell it, or efshar, you had a choice, veloy kamachavan. So we are going to discuss. And trying to relate it back to the argument of Shabbos about Dovah She'ein Miskaven, because it seems there, superficially, that prima facie, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we don't care what your intention is. If you did an Avera, whether your intention or not, you did an Avera, you're liable. According to Rabbi Shimon, we don't care if you did an Avera, the main thing is your intention. He says, the Dovah She'ein Miskaven, you're not liable. Says the Gemara, Itmo, we learned, what happens if you have some kind of a pleasure for something you don't have any pleasure from, against your will? Abaya Amar, they will soon explain which option we're talking about. Abaya says, Muteres, you had no intention, so therefore it's all right. And the Rava says, Asura. The Rava says, it is forbidden. You're not allowed to go that way. So now the Gemara explains. According to two versions on how to explain this Gemara. If you had a choice. So the two versions of how to explain this Gemara. So if you had a choice, and you intended to smell, there's nothing to talk about. Then, of course, it's forbidden. And furthermore, even Layasha, there are no other routes. This is the only route that you can go. But Kamechavin, while you're going, you say, you know what, I'll enjoy it. Then Kuli Amalei Pligidasa. If you intended to enjoy it, everyone holds that it's forbidden. Let's talk about the Reach of an Avodah Zarah, for example. So, no question, you're forbidden. What about loy efshar? You had no choice for loy kamechavan, and you close your nose or whatever. You have no intention of smelling it. And again, kuli amalei pligidasari. In that case, kuli amalei pligidasari. Everyone agrees that you're allowed to. keep pleading. You know what the argument is, according to the first version? Efshir. You had an alternative, but leka mechavan. You went by this way for whatever reason, but you have no intention whatsoever of enjoying it. So that's an argument. The Liber, according to Rabbi Yehuda, says we don't care about what your kavan is as long as you did an aver, you're liable. You had a choice, could have walked a different way, and you didn't. Even though you had no intention of enjoying it, who cares according to Rabbi Yehuda? We don't care. Davish Eim is kavan, is forbidden. When did they argue? Liber Rab Shimon, according to Rab Shimon, who says, Davish Eim is kavan mutter if you drag this chair across. And you make holes. Rav Shimon says, you're mutter, that's the argument. Abaye says, I hold like Rav Shimon. Over here also, even though you had a choice to go a different route, but I walked through this route, I had no intention, good enough, I'm not liable. However, Rav says, no. At Kalei Kama Rav Shimon, you know when Rav Shimon says that if you drag a chair across, you're not liable. We're talking, even Rav Shimon, when he says you're dragging a chair, we're not talking about a light chair. According to Rav's version of Rav Shimon, if you could have easily lifted the chair from the ground and then you dragged a chair on the ground, you're liable. Why do you have to put yourself in that situation in the first place? The only time we allow you is if the chairs are a bit heavy. If they're too heavy, then it's a psigration. Then of course it'll make ridges in the ground. We're talking about it's not that heavy, but it's not that heavy, but it's a bit uncomfortable to carry on your shoulders. So then Rav Yehuda says, okay, Rav Shimon says you can put it on the ground as long as no intention. But over here you had a choice. You could have walked through a different route. Then you have no excuse. And even if Rav Shimon would be made, you have no excuse. What are you doing? She had no choice. You could have gone down a different route. Then you put yourself in the position of going through this route, even though you had no intention, you had no right to put yourself in that situation in the first place. Loi. So according to Rav's interpretation, even according to Rav Shimon, you'd be forbidden in a case where if you had a choice, then you're liable. That's version number one. Ikedami is another version. Efshir v'leika mechavin. If you had a choice, but you had no intention, then hainu pluktai Rav Shimon. In fact, this is the argument that the Rav Shimon, that even Rava would agree that if you have no intention, even though you had a choice, could have gone a different route. So what? If you have no intention, then we don't care. Then even Rava would agree that if you had no intention, it's all right. Keep pleading. You know when they're arguing? The loy efshe become a chavan. They're arguing when you had the whole argument is when you had no intention. Sorry, you had no choice, but you had intention. Now, the first version, if you had no choice, but you had intention, you're liable because you had intention. But here, the second version, actually the big chiddush, that since you had no choice, even though you had intention, maybe it's all right. How? And this is interesting. Ki pligi, Rabbi Yehuda, who the one who was so stringent by Shabbos, will be very lenient here. And why is that, according to the second version? Why is that? Because Rabbi Yehuda says that if you drag the chair, even though you had no intention whatsoever, you're liable. In other words, he says, we don't care about intention. All we care about is what you did. So in the case when you had no choice whatsoever, you had no choice whatsoever, and you walked down this route, even though you had intention to smell the Avodah Zarah, the fragrance, who cares? Tension doesn't matter, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda in this case would be very lenient, and he would say that if you had no choice, even though when you walked down the church, you decided you want to smell it, you're not over. He'll be very lenient, according to this version. Says the Gemara, keep pleading. You know when they're arguing? The lo yafshim, when you had no choice, v'kam echavan, but you decided you want to enjoy it. And according to Rav Shimon, who says, the Azab Asa Kavan, according to Rav Shimon, says that the main thing is your intention, well, there's nothing to talk about. Of course you're liable. Kul amra pligi, the Asr, you're forbidden, but why? Because you intended to smell it. Keep pligi, their argument is, the whole argument according to Rav Yehuda, dama lo yishnam, eskavashim, eskavan, efshir Asr. According to Rav Yehuda, he says, if you drag a chair, Rabbi Yehuda says that if you drag a chair, you are liable, even though you had no intention. All we care about is intention. So Abaye says, I hold like Rabbi Yehuda, all the matters in intention, and therefore, since you had, no, we don't care about intention whatsoever. So therefore, Abaye says, over here, well, we don't care if you enjoy it, as long as you had no choice. Where you can enjoy the fragrance and you're not over. Rabbi Yehuda, who's so strict by Shabbos, will be very lenient in this particular instance. And Rabbi says, what are you talking about? Rabbi Yehuda is trying to be machmed. He's not trying to be lenient. Oh, Rabbi Yehuda will tell you, Rabbi will tell you, Ad kan lekama Rabbi Yehuda she'ei miskava kemiskava. When does Rabbi Yehuda say that even though he had no intention, he's still liable if you drag the chair across? Ela lechumri, he's trying to be stringent. Ava miskaven kishe'ei miskaven lekula, but to say that if you're walking by the church, you have no choice, and you decide to give a sniff and smell and enjoy it, and Rabbi Yehuda will be lenient because we don't care. Lo, he never said that. He never intended to do that. Amar Abaye Abaye, no, I mean, Abaye says, I'll give you a right to my second, this is according to the Eked Amri, the second version, I'll prove to you what I'm saying is that if you had no choice, even though you're enjoying it, according to Abaye, it's all right. How do I know? The time we learned, Amar Lo Rabbi Chazaka, the Sebra Chazaka, he lived in the time, the era of the second Beis HaMikdash, Shai Yoshev. Now, he used to give shiurim lectures on Yom Tov time, but his shiurim had thousands and thousands of people, and there was no shul that was large enough to carry them. So where did he do them? Outside. But it could be very hot. Sukkot's time, for example, could be very hot. So he would stand outside, and he would benefit from the shade provided by the walls around the Beis HaMikdash. So Yeshe B'tzila Shel Heichel, you sit there by the walls and enjoy the shade of the Heichel. The Heichel was 100 amas tall. So therefore the shade went very far. Kolayim Kula, he would sit there and dash an entire day. Now the Hoch over here, Dulayef, here they had no choice because the din says Moshe Rabbeinu, we had Gemara Megillah, we'll have Gemara Megillah. That Moshe Rabbeinu made takana that you have to darshan hilchas achag b'chag. That on Yom Tov day itself, you should darshan, and Rabbanim should make drushes and teach them all the laws of Yom Tov. So he had no choice. Umechaven, and he intended definitely to enjoy the shade from the walls. So we see that you're allowed to. Why? Because it says that Rabbi proves to prove that if you had no choice, like Rabbi Yehuda, even though you had intention, doesn't matter. And Rabbi will tell you, Shiny Heichel del Toich Asri. Rabbi says, no, this is very different. Since you learned before, when is a thing forbidden to have pleasure if you do the normal way? The purpose of the walls around the Heichel is for the internal room, not for the external, to provide shade for people outside, and therefore it's not the normal way, and that's why it's permitted. No proof. Amar Rabbi says, I'll prove it to you. Remember, how do I know this? Lulim, they were like skylights. They had a skylight in the Kotche Kotchim. They had to lower down maintenance workers from time to time to clean and to repair, make repairs in the Kodesh Kodashim. So these maintenance workers would come down into the Kodesh Kodashim via these skylights. They would lower down these tradesmen through these boxes. So that they should not be able to look around and see in the kachi kachi what's, you know, to have hana from looking around. And it's as if just looking at the Kodesh Kodashim is considered me'ila. When you're having pleasure for something from the base of me'ila, it's forbidden, it's called me'ila, like you're stealing. So therefore they will be lowered in boxes, and these boxes were closed on all sides except one side, so that they can, and they would know, let's say you have to look at the Mizrach side, the east side, they would make the three walls all around it, and one wall would be open, so that all they would see was exactly the side that was open, and they would not see any of the other sides. Kadesh Leizon and Neim, because we don't want them to have any pleasure. That's what it says. Now, Lochayda V'Hochid L'Efsha. They have no choice. You have to make repairs in the Kodesh Kodesh, whether you like it or not. And nevertheless, we put them in these boxes, we come a chaven, we put the boxes to make sure that they don't have any enjoyment, because if they do have any kinds of enjoyment whatsoever, usher is forbidden. If they do have enjoyment, it's forbidden. So what do we see from here? That even though it's loy efsh, it's impossible, if you enjoy it, even Abshimon would be meider that it is us. Even Rav Shimon will be made that is us. I mean, he could have answered that this follows Rabbi Yehuda, but we're trying to say, of course, everybody. As a Gemara of a Tizbe, let me ask you a question. The Omer Rabbi, almost finished, Omer Rabbi, Shimon Pazi, if Shimon Pazi said, Omer, Shimon Levi, Nebel, Shimon Levi, Shimon Kapore, Shimon Kapore, coil, voices, umara, and looking, v'reach, and smell, ain't behem Mishum Me'ila. Let me ask you a question. You're telling me a whole story here that we're trying to avoid, deny these skilled workers, the repairmen, from looking around. What are they going to do with Sahaka? All they're going to see. There's nothing tangible here. Mila is if you take something physical, something tangible, and you steal it. But let's say if you're listening to the sounds of the Beis HaMikdash, or if you're smelling the Ketadah, it's supposed to have a very powerful smell. There's no, from the Ketadah's perspective, there's no stealing, because there's nothing tangible there. So l'chayda, if there's nothing, if since Mahatayda is permitted and you have no choice, why did they have to make this whole exercise of putting them in a box? What's the problem? What's going on here? Must be the reason is elamayla also bebeis kachet kachet. They decided that in the Holy of Holies we should be very, very stringent. Not because it's a halacha. So therefore it proves nothing according to Rav or anything else. It doesn't prove anything. So, further, another version is Amar Rav Rav Sabinami. How do I know? The time you live in a positive relationship with Gabbara, Kul Umarech Shemila. That Bar Kapora said that the voice, the looks, and the smell is no Mi'ilim HaTorah, but Mi'ilim Deleka, Ha'isur Ika. There's an Iser, but maybe there's no Mi'ilah stealing from the Torah, but at least Asim the Rabbanan. My love, we're talking about that the people who are standing inside, they have no choice, they have to work in the Beis HaMikdash. Nevertheless, they're not allowed to intend to have any benefit from the sights, the smells, and the sounds. That what? The lay efshe, they have no choice, they have to be in there to do whatever work they're doing.
Hello?
Yeah. Okay. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Hello?
Yeah. So with the lay efshe v'kam mechaven, the people working inside the Beis HaMikdash have no choice and they have intention, and for us it's forbidden. So therefore doesn't that prove that even though lay efshe, if you intend to enjoy it, it is forbidden. Says you want to know, the people standing inside the Beis HaMikdash have no choice. Maybe your Abayi says they are permitted to enjoy while they can, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's all right. It's talking about the people standing outside. They don't have to be there. They're not allowed to have any intention of spelling it whatsoever. So Tosha really asks, and he remains with the question, so how come we learned in Gemara Sukkah that the light of the Beis HaSheva was that strong and that they were able to see in the distance and use it to be able to check their wheat and to make sure they sift their wheat from that light. So they were enjoying it. And the Gemara Yishama says from there you can prove that you're allowed to enjoy it even outside the Beis HaMikdash and so on. So according to Al Gemara, we can say that maybe this is not really, doesn't fall under any of these things. But nevertheless, he made the question, why are they allowed to enjoy it when it says right here, still asim adirabanan. And Tosfos says, however, when we're saying over here that it's forbidden for the people on the outside, we're talking about to walk one step closer to have a better smell. But otherwise, because we learned in another Gemara, we were learning with Shem in a few months, that the smell of the Ketores was that strong that none of the brides in Shalayim, had to put on any perfume or anything else, because the Ketores was that strong that it made them smell good as it is. Anyway, we'll continue tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem.